Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We've had an incredible moment here. I saw the sun. Now, don't get all crazy here, but I saw the sun. How about that?
Yeah, we were kind of getting a little snarky about that, too. It's like, wait, what's that yellow ball up there? What's going on? Took a five-day vacation and came back today.
I thought you were talking about the staff meeting. Okay. There's always one know-it-all in the staff meeting.
Oh, yeah. One in every crowd. Yeah. One in our crowd.
Yeah, we have them. All right.
It is definitely a blessing to dry out across the valley today. So many have been going through the ringer here the last several days. Portions of Northumberland County, just under 20 inches of rain in 5 days. I mean, that's about amount you would expect to see in, what, 4 months?
How high is the Susquehanna?
Luckily, the crest is happening a little earlier than anticipated, and totals are going to be a little lower than anticipated. So that is a huge relief for a lot of people that live along the river for sure.
Ooh, thank goodness.
Yes.
Oh, I don't need that additional problem.
No, because a lot of people are going to be afraid they're going to be under the gun, especially tonight and into tomorrow morning when everything gets cumulative and making their way toward the river.
Oh, absolutely. Because once it starts running down from New York and gets here, you worry about what it's going to be like then. It sounds like it's going to be okay, so that's good. Good news.
And there's places over in Columbia County, too, Bloomsburg area. They have Fishing Creek and low-lying areas in Bloomsburg that they've had their share of issues over the years when there's a lot of rain in a short period of time. So a couple locations, low-lying areas may not be out of the woods, but for the most part, Susquehanna should be good.
I know there's that one guy in Danville that complains all the time, but that's just about everything.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I hear there's a specific ward in Danville. That's the official weather location for Danville for
the official
rain,
everything.
Rain totals, and snow
totals.
The official
everything in Danville. It's not funny. Okay, Bill Bender's sporting news with us today. Bill wrote a fabulous article on Trace McSorley, but there'll be a lot of other items we're going to get into besides the article he wrote on Trace. But check it out at sportingnews.com for the article he wrote about Trace McSorley, which was in-depth and really well done. Bill was here in late June, early July, putting this together. And did a great job with it. Great job. I'm going up to Williamsport to speak tonight. Season is getting underway tonight at Williamsport. And then on the 7th, I go to York to speak there. These are all communities. Once I'm done, they'll be destroyed. So then I've got to go to Harrisburg. And I wanted to say that Harrisburg was the 17th, maybe? And Pittsburgh is the 27th. That's when Jack and I are doing. And, of course, the 22nd will be at Front Street Station. We'll do the show there. You can stop by, ask all the questions you want. And then we're going to have a get-together at Front Street Station afterward, in which it'll be an intense contest between the train and me.
Yeah.
Now, over the years, through patience, we have won. Last year, I thought the guy was just practicing.
Yeah. He's toying with you.
Back and forth, back and forth. It's like, hey, you can't rattle me, man. What are we talking about? You can't do that.
Our first rodeo.
Yeah. So starting tonight, it's the first of five I have over the next 5 weeks. And unless something dramatic comes up, no offense, I think they're all going to be the same. Now, as time goes and the later you go, it turns out this year, for example, Front Street Station is the 22nd. So you're talking on the 22nd, what are we, 10 days away from the opener? Well, at that point, you know, there'll be some information to dole out about what's going on. And it's only 2 days away from the high school football season starting.
That's right.
And for those announcers who, you know, don't prefer a sabbatical, they're looking forward to it.
Well, as you're going to be going on the trail, I know you're going to be talking a little bit about Trace for sure. And actually, Bill Bender asked to bend your ear a little bit about Trace for his outstanding write-up. And I loved what you said. You said Trace has swagger without arrogance, and you picked that out a couple years ago at the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Yeah, although there was an interesting side story about the Tax Slayer Bowl. He leads them back, and now he throws that ball in the end zone. Okay, it doesn't come out. All right. Now we go to leave, and we're taking a 747 back to Harrisburg. So we're at the Jacksonville Airport, and Jack and I are standing there, and there's this guy pacing back and forth on the grass as we're going through security out on the runway. And I looked over at Jack. I said, I can't believe it. I said, that's McSorley. Well, something happened where McSorley wasn't on the manifest. I said, of all the guys, I said, the guy that almost wins the game for you. But that's the way he is. There's the you know what? He has great confidence and no arrogance. That's what I like. That's what I've always liked about him. He has great confidence, but no arrogance. You know, it's not even really swagger, because I don't want to indicate there's an arrogant bone in his body. There isn't. But the point I made in the article as well, which Bill used, I said, look, in the history of Penn State football, Trace McSorley can stand side by side with Chuck Fusina, John Huffnagel, Todd Blackledge, Kerry Collins, Michael Robinson, Darryl Clark. He can stand side by side with any of them. And to the current generation, the millennials, he'll always be their quarterback. To the younger generation that didn't see these other guys play, McSorley will always be their guy. He'll always be their yardstick to compare. And that's who he is. Now, he's got one more season here. So let's see in one more season what he can put up. And again, all these guys worked under different systems. I mean, Chuck was a great thrower of the football. Not a great runner. Huffnagel could move. Huffnagel could throw. Todd was not a great runner, even though he had that 43-yard touchdown run at Missouri. He was not a great runner. Kerry was not a great runner. Michael was a tremendous runner. Now, the other guys may have been better passers than Michael, but Michael was a great runner, but was not defined just by running the ball. He had a really good year throwing the ball. Darryl Clark could do both really well, and McSorley can do both really well. I mentioned my speaking engagements, and the last one I mentioned was going to be in Pittsburgh with Jack. Last year, I sat with Chuck Fusina last year. Chuck and I talked for an hour. I mean, it was just, Chuck and I went to school at the same time, too. But we talked for an hour. He's doing really well. But Chuck was a great thrower of the football. And people forget he actually had more first place votes for the Heisman than any other player in 1978. He did not win the Heisman. He finished second to Billy Sims of Oklahoma. But Chuck actually had the most first place votes. And Huffnagel, there are times with Huffnagel, I think sometimes people forget. You know, it's getting further and further. I mean, let's face it, Huffnagel was 55 years ago. Or I'm sorry, Huffnagel was 45 years ago. He's 45 years ago. You got to be 60 years old plus to really remember Huffy playing quarterback at Penn State, what he meant. Because there have been other good ones along the way. Tom Schumann was a good quarterback. Tommy Sherman was really good. You know, I mean, John Schaefer won. You know, people forget that Tony Sacca racked up some big numbers here. Made some big. Tony Sacca could really throw it. Zach Mills. You know, Matt McGloin. I mean, obviously there have been guys that played it. But to me, the elite guys, Huffnagel, Fusina, Blackledge, Collins, Robinson, Clark, and now McSorley. To me, those have been the dominant quarterbacks that I've seen over the last 45 years here. And we'll talk to more with Bill about that. But I also want to talk to him about some of the issues, too, in sports, the new kickoff rule. What about making player availability reports that Jim Delaney has talked about and the coaches aren't quite sure about? Now, one thing he can't comment on, because this is local, but the battle with Comcast and BTN. That is a battle. That is a battle. And it's interesting, BTN needs Comcast, but Comcast needs BTN. If you're sitting there and you're in a Comcast office in Philadelphia, and it's obvious that BTN needs Comcast, so I don't think I have to explain anything more than the base statement. BTN needs Comcast. That's a difference that makes BTN money. It is the most powerful cable entity in the world. So obviously BTN needs Comcast. But Comcast needs BTN too. I mean, do you want to sit there at Comcast in Iowa and say, I'm sorry, we're having a dispute. We can't carry the Hawkeyes. You want to be sitting there in Michigan? We can't carry the Wolverines. And obviously here in Pennsylvania, do you want to tell them that you won't be able to see Penn State football on Comcast when the game's on BTN? Do you want to be able to tell people that? Seriously, from a business point of view, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Again, BTN absolutely needs Comcast. That statement stands alone. It needs no explanation. But Comcast needs BTN too. And if you're a Penn State volleyball, men's soccer, women's soccer, field hockey, wrestling, women's basketball, softball, baseball fan, lacrosse, whatever it may be, watching those sports, BTN is your only outlet for those sports. They're the only outlet. So while football and basketball will get the publicity about this, especially right now football, it's the other sports that are really going to be hurt. There'll be other outlets for Big Ten football, ABC, ESPN, over-the-air Fox. There'll be other outlets besides Fox Sports 1 and BTN. Penn State's game, for example, at Pitt's going to be on ABC. But this will be one of the big stories. Do they come up with an 11th-hour solution the week of the Appalachian State game? And there's no change. Or does it then leak past the first weekend, and now the Big Ten's off? and it stays contentious, and it leaks through the second weekend, and then the third. Now you've got a real problem. There's pressure campaigns on both sides. Need to keep it. And the conference openers are coming up. Now, Penn State's conference opener with Ohio, with at Illinois. Okay, that's on that Friday night, and then they got Ohio State here. Now, Ohio State's going to be Ohio State's not going to be a BTN game. I, you know, we all know that. Plus, the game's sold out. But I mean, it sounds like they're far apart, and it sounds contentious, and it affects you. It affects you. Now, it doesn't affect me. I mean, I'm at every game, but it affects you. Now, if you have Dish, you're on Service Electric, you're on Atlantic Broadband, you maybe have Time Warner, it doesn't affect you. But if you have Comcast, it does. And it's the deadline's looming. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
How can your summer memories last for the next 6 years? With a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia at up to 6 years interest free. Sunbury Motors Kia is helping make summer memories last and last during the America's Best Value Summer Clearance with 0% financing for up to 72 months.
That's 6 years.
On 2018 Kia Optima, Serenos, and Sportages. Own a 2018 Kia Optima for just $258 a month. A 2018 Kia Sportage can be yours for only $269 a month. Both for 72 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2018 Kia Forte, Souls, Niro, Sedona, and Cadenza. Own a 2018 Kia Soul or 2018 Forte for only $225 a month for 66 months. Celebrate summer with America's Best Value. The industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Offer expires 7/31/18. Financing through KMF for qualified buyers. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Great to have you with us. On the show today, and Bill Bender's Sporting News coming up, we'll be talking with him. Todd Callis, way to push Todd back to Friday, which is fine, because that still means we're going to get him. And looking forward to talking with him very much. You know, obviously his dad meant so much around here. It's interesting how he's with the Astros, and that's where his dad was before he took the Phillies job. So... And we'll talk to him on Friday. Kevo's on Friday, too.
Tim Kirkchen also.
Tim Kirkchen will be on Friday. That's a blockbuster day on Friday. Yep. That's a blockbuster day. You know, I don't even realize that Kirkchen and Todd realized what kind of royalty they're with. my goodness. But we'll, you know, I've got a great story to lead off with Kevo tomorrow, which you'll get a kick out of.
Now, did you connect with him and Claire up north?
No, we got there, and I said, hey, we're going to go to dinner and the whole thing. And it turned out they were in New Haven at the time, which is about 45 miles away. You know, and he said, hey, look, we'd known ahead of time. I said, of course, if you'd known ahead of time. I got that. One of those spur-of-the-moment things. I really wanted to see him. Which means he has no pickles.
That's what you should have said. I've got pickles.
if I mentioned we had pickles. Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
You kidding me? Katie bar the door. It's like, come on, Claire. We out.
He'd have yanked her out of wherever the heck they were and said, look, we're going north. All right, and Tim Kirkchen tomorrow with the trade deadline coming up. All the moves so far, with the exception of Machado, have been subtle. They help you a little bit. Like, I think the Red Sox helped themselves. in the deal they made. You want a guy that can throw hard? They got a guy that can throw hard.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And great to have with us from Sporting News and someone I consider to be a true friend of the show, Bill Bender. Bill, welcome back. It's great to talk with you again.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about the article you did on Trace McSorley. There's certain elements that you sat down and probably had an idea of where you might want to go with this. What was said by anybody along the way that you learned something new or surprised you?
No, I think, you know, Sean and I were just talking about it. I think actually, and to compliment you, I think your quote kind of carried this in some ways when you said swagger without arrogance. And I think that gets to the heart of who Trace McSorley is. He's a winner. He's a competitor. He's a leader. But at the end of the day, to me, and, you know, I follow the Big Ten pretty closely, that there's this guy that has to constantly prove everybody wrong. And, you know, he's done that for 2 years, and now more than ever as a senior, the crazy part is he has to do it again without Saquon, without Moorhead, et cetera.
Some of the conversations that you had, you talked with James, you talked with Nick Scott, for example. Now, you know, somebody that's a peer, because Scott had been on the offensive side of the ball at one point, what did you learn from him, from a guy that's a peer player of his?
No, I think, you know, Nick Scott played in the same state. And, you know, that's where this kind of began. And, you know, the first question I asked Trace was, when was the first time you kind of felt like this leader and winner that you are today? And he said way back at, you know, Briar Woods High School when they played Millbrooks as a freshman. And Nick Scott was around that then. When Trace McSorley, as you know, a high school legend can take off, and McSorley is one of those Virginia high school legends. We certainly have them here in Ohio. I know you guys have them over there in PA, and the fact that they knew each other, and he just kept saying, you know, this story keeps unfolding time and time again, and the thing that Nick Scott said was he's so calm, and that really resonated with me too, because in all these situations, that really stands out.
A guy like Saquon Barkley, I found over the 3 years being around him, that he was never really crazy about talking about himself. Do you get the same sense about McSorley, that he'd rather talk about everybody else except Trace McSorley?
Yes, and that's always a sign of a, well, yes, and here's the thing that I put in there that I really do believe. You know, I could sit here and tell you, well, Steve, I'm a competitor. You know, I like to get after it. I like to compete.
Yeah.
Well, to me, the most competitive people don't tell you that. You can see them do it. And, you know, they were talking about how Trace McSorley won't let them quit playing basketball until he wins. It could be a sprint with the, you know, the sled out on the field during practice or in a big-time game situation. And I think you need that edge, as Ricky Ronnie described it, to go to battle in this just ridiculous Big Ten East that they're going to have to do it all over again this year.
Well, let's get into that ridiculous Big Ten East and also with a couple of issues that go with it. Let's start with this. Jim Delaney with the new sports betting law. Well, the Supreme Court ruling that opens the door for sports betting. Right now, New Jersey and Delaware are both all in. They want to do availability reports like the NFL does and the pro leagues do. The coaches, of course, have had control over that forever. How do you come down on this and also the reaction of the coaches?
Well, as a journalist, I'd love to see them do injury reports because it makes my job easier, you know, when you're on the teleconferences. I think college coaches get away with, well, he has a boo-boo. I remember Brady Hoke used to say that. And, you know, or they have a thing. And I think the injury report would help. I guess the thing that gets in the way is professional sports organizations are a little bit different than colleges. And I guess from college to college, conference to conference, I mean, we deal in an environment where they can't agree on how many games to play in conference between conference to conference. So I don't know how they're going to agree on this. I think we're a long way off, and there's going to be a lot of red tape before this happens.
Which then brings up the next part, and you touched on it at the end of that answer. There is not uniformity in conference games. You get to the next to last week of the regular season, and ACC Clemson is playing Citadel, and SEC Alabama is playing Mercer instead of playing an SEC or an ACC game. And three of the four participants in the college football playoff played eight conference games. Only one conference with nine got in this particular year. How do you fall on that, and is it even possible to get a resolution?
Well, I think it's one of those deals where I liked what James Franklin said, honestly. I mean, Jim Harbaugh was advocating a 16-team playoff. I think that's too many. Scott Frost talked about eight, and I think eight is an open conversation down the road. But Bill Hancock has made it clear that we're staying at four, and that hasn't even been discussed. So if we're going to stay at four, like James Franklin said, I can't remember the word he used. This makes me such a bad journalist. I think he said, like, the outliers, the qualifiers, you know, that everybody plays nine conference game and doesn't play FCS opponents. I think there should be some uniformity there. But James Franklin's right. And I think, you know, the class example here is the Big Ten switched to a nine-game conference schedule in 2016, pointed this out, and the Big Ten champion hasn't made the college football playoff the last two seasons. So I think that's something that should be a concern for the conference, given how many good teams are in it.
And remember, it was Jim Delaney who strongly advocated for only conference champions to be in the college football playoff. He was actually, that was an issue he lost on.
Yeah, you know, and that's for sure. So, I mean, I asked Jim Delaney the question, is that a concern? And he kind of didn't dance around it. He just didn't really confront it. I think, you know, he said, you know, the money's coming in, 14 playoff good. The Big Ten's been on both ends of the conference champion thing with Ohio State the last 2 years, but there are other programs not named Ohio State, like a Penn State, like a Michigan, like a Nebraska. I think that's why Scott Frost is so vocal, Steve, because he knows Nebraska could be in that situation sometime, and he doesn't want to be in the same spot that he was with UCF. So I actually think Scott Frost's voice is really good for the Big Ten because he takes it a step further than some of the other coaches do.
Well, in part because he lived it last year with his own team.
Well, he's lived it twice. You know, he lived it as a quarterback when they split the national title in 97. And, you know, I know Penn State fans don't ever want to talk about 1994 and what happened there. So I think we're close. I do like the 14 playoff. But inevitably, when you have four chairs and five conferences and not to mention all the rest of the group of five schools trying to cram into those four chairs, somebody's going to hurt every time, especially when you put two teams from the same conference in. And I think, I don't know if you subscribe to this, I do going into this year. I think the only way two teams from the same conference get in is, one, if it's Alabama and Georgia, or two, if it's two teams from the Big Ten East.
I agree with that. That's the only way it could be. It has to be two SEC teams, the ones you specifically said, or two Big Ten East teams. I mean, and I agree with that completely. Now, if it came down where there are two Big Ten East teams and two SEC teams, now you're going to have a big problem across the country.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I totally see a scenario where Alabama and Georgia play each other at 12-0 or 11-1 or some combination of that. And if the Big Ten, and this is the part that I think makes it so hard, is that I don't know that a Big Ten team can go undefeated. I don't know that a Big Ten team can even really go through it with one loss. And then the other part of that I would say is, you pointed this out to me when we were, and I'm writing a separate story about this using you as well, that the best point I thought you and I were talking about is, you know, Penn State and Ohio State last year, I'm stealing your words, played this great game, right? And you remember it and I remember it. And what happened the next week? Yeah. I'll let you finish.
They both ended up losing. And what happened was that game meant so much to each team that they each let it affect it the next week. They each had a hangover from it.
Right, and I think that's why when you look at the Big Ten schedule, I think it's going to be hard for Michigan to survive all those games. And they play Notre Dame and Penn State to play all those games, and they play Wisconsin and Ohio State to play all those games, and they got to go to TCU. But I look at the Big Ten East race as more like jumping points. And that first big jumping point to me is September 29th in Happy Valley when the Buckeyes roll in, because the winner right off the go is going to be feeling real good and the loser is going to be in trouble.
Right. Well, exactly. It sets the tone early for each program coming out of that. By midnight that night, each program will have a direction. One will be trying to come back, and the other one will have great momentum.
Yeah, and you know, for Penn State, I think not losing a home game the last 2 years, that was also part of my McSorley story, is he's helped restore that. You know, Penn State is this hostile place to play where you're not going to have an easy time when you go play the Nittany Lions at home. You know, I think the other early launch point game will be Michigan and Michigan State, because honestly, I believe the loser of that game will be out, because I don't know that the loser of that game will be able to recover. Whereas the loser of Penn State, Ohio State, because it's early enough, could recover, go 11-1 and be in decent shape.
Right. Exactly. The new kickoff rule. Obviously, they're trying to do whatever they can to make the game safer. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to take a long, hard look at the Alliance of American Football, which is taking the kickoff out of it. Do you think this is a step in the direction of eliminating the kickoff in college football? How do you view the new kickoff rule where you can fair catch it?
Probably. I think that'll be a thing in the near future. I mean, the fewer kickoffs the game can have, the better is the way they look at it. Now, you know, I talked to a kickoff specialist last week, a guy named Marcus Green down at Louisiana Monroe, had 4 kickoff returns for touchdowns last year, had a couple punt returns as well. This is kind of his ticket. When you're one of those hidden gems, that's the one thing we forget about. When you're a hidden gem like him, you're trying to break into the NFL any way possible. And he said he's not planning on fair catching at all. So we'll see how that's used. If it's something that can make the game safer, will make the game safer, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and which then brings you to Larry Fedora of North Carolina, where, I mean, there's a way to handle questions like that. How surprised were you that he handled it in the direction that he did, almost basically saying, well, we don't know what causes CTE?
Well, I think CTE is not going away. I mean, that we need to learn more, and that's not the way to talk about it. You know, and not to dismiss it, not to kind of puff out your chest and say football is everything. You know, 2 months after a Washington State kid committed suicide and was found to have CTE, I think, you know, it's not an everything case. But I can tell you this. I mean, the way I wrote about it was, I think football is the greatest game in the world. That, my opinion on that won't change. I think, you know, the point he made about the military, yeah, there's a lot of soldiers that do that, and that it definitely, football teaches you hard work, discipline, all those kind of things. But at the same time, you know, I have an 8-year-old son, and those CTE discussions at cookouts are very real. And, you know, it's about just making sure that the game's safer in the future and getting more research on this topic without dismissing it just in the name of football is the way I would handle it.
You mentioned your 8-year-old son. In fact, you know, you were going back to coach one of his games. Has football been a thought for him? And if so, as a father, what have you thought?
No, I mean, it's discussions with my wife. You know, I started playing in fifth grade, and I'm looking back at it now. I'm wondering, was that too early? They have tackle football in second grade in our hometown, and it's telling him, yeah, we're going to wait a little bit. And you can see the patience, because he watches it on TV. He sees the passion for it. He knows, you know, my kid's 8 years old, and he knows who Trace McSorley and Dwayne Haskins and Shea Patterson are. This is where I'm at, Steve. So it's hard to control that enthusiasm for the game. But then again, as a father who played through those levels, I just want to make sure he's safe and, you know, that he's ready to play when he's physically ready to play.
Yeah, I wouldn't let my sons play until they get to junior high. I did not put them in youth football.
You know, I think that's the sweet spot, because I started playing in fifth grade, and if I look back at it now, and I'm not blaming my parents. My parents are great and a huge part of my life.
Right.
And, you know, if I could do it over again, I probably would have started in seventh grade. And I think that's the way to go. Once you're junior high, you're a little more physically ready. You can play flag, and you can learn everything.
Right.
And, you know, but I'm not telling other people how to raise their kids, and I'm just knowing from my end of it that these discussions with other parents are very real right now. And I think as long as they're educated and definitely everybody's listening to everybody, like I'm listening to you now, that I think it gets put in the right spot.
I'm going to bring this back full circle. So we started at quarterback with Trace McSorley, and in one of the answers you mentioned Dwayne Haskins, you mentioned Shea Patterson. Ryan Lewerke kind of rounds that thing out. When you look at the quarterbacks in the Big Ten, you know, Hollabrook and Thorson in the West, but then the four guys in the East, What do you see in the quarterbacks, especially in the East? Because there are a couple of unknowns and a couple of knowns.
Right, and I think well, we know what we're going to get out of Trace. That's, I think, your quote again. Not to keep taking your quotes, but you know what you're going to get every single Saturday from him: steady, consistent play. I think Lewerke's kind of in that same vein too, and he can run a little bit. And Michigan State's kind of business as usual. I guess the X factors are Haskins, who takes over. And I know Ohio State's offense will look a little differently in that he'll probably throw a little more, and Dobbins and Weber will run a little more, but that's not saying Haskins can't run. And then the big X factor, Shea Patterson. I mean, I think the limited sample size at Michigan or at Ole Miss was pretty good. Other people have been debating that, but that's been the missing piece for Michigan. I mean, you know, they had everything else pretty much except offensive line needs improvement. They had a young group of receivers, and now they're bringing a new quarterback into it. So if their offense looks different, they'll be in the mix too. But those four quarterbacks, again, they're going to have to play big every single Sunday or Saturday. And I think the one that comes out on top, and you and I talked about this, probably will end up in New York at least as a finalist.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned that to me right away when we were sitting down. One final question, and it does deal with Jim Harbaugh. Lewerke, Haskins, Hornibrook, McSorley, Thorson, all as example, all were recruited and came into their programs as 18-year-old freshmen. Jim Harbaugh has not been able to do that. His guys have been transfers that have come in. Have you been surprised at all that Jim Harbaugh has not been able to recruit the Jim Harbaugh quarterback as an 18-year-old?
A little bit. You know, he has played transfer roulette. I thought he was good with Rudolph. I thought Wilton Spate, who was a Brady Hoke recruit, was pretty good the year they were 10-3. He wasn't so good last year, and it was kind of mystifying on some levels. And, like, you're right, John O'Korn transfer, now Shea Patterson a transfer. I guess Dylan McCaffrey and Brandon Peters are in-house guys, but, you know, this is a big year for them in terms of perception. I don't think it's as bad as the perception is, but the perception's out there, and you saw him kind of swatting away those questions about Michigan State and Ohio State. That's life at that program. James Franklin's been there. Mark D'Antonio has been there, and they've got to win some big games this year.
Absolute pleasure, Bill. I always enjoy talking with you, and thanks so much for the time and also the great work you continue to do.
Well, Steve, I can't wait to see you this season and talk again. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Bill Bender, one of the best out there. It's great to talk with him. We will have him back on the show, believe me, because he is in tune and in touch with so much out there. And I think the fans love listening to that stuff. I know I do, just sitting here asking questions and listening to what he has to say. Great perspective. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Bill Bender was a great guest, wasn't he? So many issues in college football and so many intriguing stories before we even get the season started, for goodness sakes. It's amazing. We're going to have, by the way, Wheels is going to be here on Friday. Or excuse me, on Monday. Got a hold of Wheels on Tuesday about something. So he was down in Clearwater at the time. Now, Brendan Porath, the editor and writer of SB Nation on golf, is going to be joining us in the next half hour. We've got a lot to talk to. The Bridgestone's coming up, and Tiger finished so well at the British Open. He got to 50. Well, 50 is the number that gets you into the Bridgestone at Firestone Country Club. And tomorrow, Tim Kirchen, then Todd Callis, then the Mystic from the East. Rose Carter was listening to the podcast, and I referred to him as the Pickle King. She says, "Who's the Pickle King?" We have so many people that come up and tell me they listen. I don't know if that's all of them. But if there's more attached to them than just them, we get a lot of, because I get a lot of comments about the show. They love you. You're the, like, you know. Yeah. Kevin, you, they just think, oh. And Wheels will be on Monday. So we're going to talk golf next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Just a quick note. When I come in on the 22nd, is the suit taking a sabbatical this year? Or?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.